We are continuing today then in our series here in the book of James. I trust that you have found this helpful and encouraging. It's a little challenging at times, isn't it? Because James is a very practical book and he pulls no punches and he gets right to the point of things. So what have we seen in our study here so far? Well, we've seen that we can stand with confidence. That we can stand with confidence through trials and temptations by standing on God's Word, His truth, and most importantly, doing what it says. We said we don't want to be people who only hear the Word of God and don't do it. We want to be hearers who then act upon and obey what God says to us. We don't want to be like the person who looks in a mirror, sees what he looks like, and then walks away and immediately forgets that. So when God speaks to us, we need to act in faith and obedience to what He's telling us through His Word. We've seen then too how we can serve, with compassion. Serve with compassion as we love all people equally. Loving all people equally. Even the people we don't like, we have to love, right? And then also, though, that we demonstrate true faith. We demonstrate true faith through practical works of love, through acts of service to one another. Well, today we're moving into chapter 3 of our study here. This is on James, Faith at Works, Part 7, Controlling Our Talk. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. I want you to take away one point from this here today. It's this, and you may see it up there. Maybe it looks a little strange to you, but when we read the scripture passage, you'll see what I'm talking about. And the thought for today is this, that the tongue, your gift of speech, the tongue has tremendous power to either give people a taste of heaven or a taste of hell. That's what our text is telling us here. We can be ministers of heaven to one another, grace, through what we say, or we can be dispensers of hell through what we say to one another. Tremendous power in that. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me then to the book of James chapter 3, starting at verse 1. James says, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." Standing with confidence through trials and temptations by standing on God's Word and obeying what it says. Serving with compassion by loving all equally and performing acts of righteousness, showing, demonstrating that our faith is real through practical works of love and righteousness then. Moving into chapter 3, speaking with care. Speaking with care. And first of all, controlling our talk. Controlling our talk. Controlling what we say. James here is telling us that another measure of our spiritual maturity is a believer's speech. You know, sometimes there are various ways we can gauge how far we've come along in our spiritual growth process here. Want to take a good gauge, if you want to measure our spiritual growth, James says, you know what, a good way that you can measure your spiritual growth, your level of spiritual maturity, is to look at the tongue. How you talk. Because the tongue is one of the hardest things to tame, isn't it? How we talk, how we speak to others. And he says the spiritually mature person will have the tongue under control. Uses it for good and not for evil. James devotes a pretty considerable portion of his letter here to attacking a careless and a corrupt tongue. Goes in depth right here, but remember what he said at the beginning of his letter in chapter 1, verse 26? He's talking about real faith, being obedient to God, doing what the Word says. And then he says this in verse 26 of chapter 1. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. He sets it up there in chapter 1, and now he's moving in there to some more details. Those are some pretty strong words about words, isn't it? Some pretty strong words about words. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is, that he has such a powerful word about words for us? Well, could it be that we seriously underestimate the power of speech for good or for evil? Do we understand truly how powerful words are? Now, you know, there is a brand of teaching out there, a theology, if you will. It's a heresy, frankly. You recall this from our study in Galatians there. It's called word faith theology that exalts the power of words. And the idea of this is that we can use words to command things into existence. We make ourselves like little gods, and we even command and tell God what He is to do by the power of our words. Okay. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the power that words do have to affect people for good or for ill. You know, there's an old expression that, you know, even when I was a little kid, I didn't buy this. I know why, you know, this was said. I didn't buy it when I was a little kid, and I especially don't buy it now. But I'll start it off, and you can probably finish it for me. It went something like this. It said what? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me, right? Did you believe that back then when you were a kid? No. Do you believe it now?
No.
Even less. Can words hurt us?
Yes.
Absolutely they can. Sometimes they're worse than breaking bones, aren't they? They certainly can hurt us. Could it be that we seriously underestimate the power of speech, the power of words, for good or for evil? I think we do, and I think that's why James spends so much time talking about our words, our tongue, the power of speech. And I think it's true then too that our level of control over our speech says a lot about our faith and a lot about our level of spiritual maturity. So let's first of all, in controlling our talk, acknowledge there that the tongue is powerful. The tongue is powerful. You know what? The tongue has great power to impart wisdom and grace to people. Or not. It has great power to impart wisdom and grace to people. Or not. And so James first advises against those who might be a little too quick to use their tongues as teachers. You know, it's likely there that in this community, in the early days of the church, remember James is writing to a predominantly Jewish Christian church, and it's likely that many of these new Jewish Christians aspired to teach. and were thereby seeking to somehow carry some rank or admiration the way the rabbis had, the way they were given that. And we know, too, that there were a number of unofficial teachers in the synagogue meetings of the church. And there was quite a bit of leeway given, even for strangers, to speak in these things. And that the Apostle Paul, he frequently used this custom, didn't he? Where he would go into the meeting of the church there in the synagogue, and he would speak. People were free to speak. So perhaps many of them were speaking up here. And James's concern that perhaps there were too many who were overly eager to speak up and perhaps show off a little bit. You ever known anyone like that? Don't point them out here this morning, okay? But so maybe there were some that they were eager to be teachers. They wanted to be recognized as people of wisdom and learning and stature, wanted to be respected among the people. So he advises caution against that, using the tongue to be too quick to speak up and to be a teacher, to seek out. Would anyone here like to comment on this, by the way, before I go further? No. Seriously though, you know, teaching must be done in the church, mustn't it? But it must be done with a sober awareness and realization of the power of those words and the responsibility that comes from teaching God's Word, that there's a serious and sacred responsibility there. James goes on to say what? If you're going to speak, if you're going to use your tongue to speak, to teach in the church, then you need to understand that it's a responsibility that goes along with that privilege. Boy, I tell you, what a privilege it is. What a privilege it is to be able to speak in the church and teach God's Word, isn't that? But with that privilege comes a responsibility, saying, hey, you know what? If you're going to do that, those who teach, you are going to be judged more strictly. You're going to be held to a higher level, a higher standard. A teacher's judgment or accountability is stricter because, having professed to have a clear knowledge of the Scriptures, then he or she is all the more bound to obey it. Right? If we understand what the Scripture is saying, we're teaching, we're telling others this, how much more so then are we responsible then to obey it, to live it out? It's a higher standard there. Okay, now would anyone here care to comment this morning? I appreciate, though, what James says next here. Look at verse 2 again of chapter 3. You know, he's saying, let not many of you presume to be teachers, knowing that those who teach will be judged more strictly, held more accountable. But then he acknowledges very frankly, verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. All of us stumble, don't we? All of us mess up with our words. None of us have our tongues under perfect control, do we? We all stumble. And we all stumble in many ways. God's Word here, he's saying, you know, sometimes, and I want to make this clear again here, folks, that we need to teach God's Word, to faithfully present what it says, to be challenged by that. If we're going to grow, we need to know what His Word says and obey that. But at the same time, I don't want anyone here to think that God's Word is all about just one long continuing list of rules and regulations and ways and things that you need to do that you're falling short of and you need to just do better and make our faith all about performance. Obedience is crucial, isn't it? But our faith is about the grace of God that forgives, that cleanses us, and He picks us up and we keep going. Faith is about getting up. When we've stumbled, again, we all stumble in many ways, don't we? But we get up and we keep going. And perhaps the universal human struggle, perhaps the universal human struggle is the battle to control what we say. You know, all of us have areas of our lives that maybe we struggle a little more with than another person does. But maybe one that is something that, many of us, if not all of us, can identify with is this one right here. The battle to control the tongue, what we say. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Well, the self-control that is necessary to control the tongue will help to bridle or control everything else. If we can control our speech, then it's likely then that through that discipline that the Spirit gives us to control speech, that they're going to be disciplined to control other things in our lives too, right? If you can control what you say, then there's hope for other things. Able to keep the whole body in check. So if you want an added measure of self-discipline and control in your life, I think James is suggesting to us, you know what, a good place to start is with the tongue. If you can learn control of that, you can learn control of just about anything. So it says then, spiritual maturity, growth, not spiritual perfectionism. There's a reason for spiritual perfection, or there's a word for spiritual perfection. It's called glorification. And that's going to happen on the other side, isn't it? When we're with the Lord in a new heaven and a new earth. Until then, God calls us to grow, to progress in the faith. And one of the evidences that we're progressing in the faith is that we're increasingly using the power of our speech for good and not evil. James says that even though the tongue is very small, the tongue is a very small part of the body, isn't it? It's very small, but it wields tremendous power. And he gives us some illustrations here, some practical illustrations of how something so small can wield a disproportionate amount of power. Like the bit in the horse. Anybody here ever ride a horse? Done some horseback riding? Well, I happened to grow up, my sister had a horse when she was a teenager, so I was a little younger. And so sometimes I had the opportunity to go and to ride this horse there. But my first experience with a horse was a disaster. I'm not going to tell you that story. Maybe that'll be another time. Okay, that was a disaster. And I am literally scarred to this day right here because of it, okay? But I got back in the saddle, as the expression goes, okay? And I learned the power of control, that this big horse, much, much bigger and stronger than I, could be controlled. Just a tiny little tug from that bit in its mouth. So this tiny little bit can control this massive beast. Or how about a rudder in a ship? A rudder in a ship. See, like these huge, huge ships we have. Like our Nimitz-class aircraft carriers that are over 1,100 feet long and have five crew of 5,000. It's a floating city. It's a massive ship. And yet it can all be controlled by this... Okay, the rudder's huge, okay? But compared to the aircraft carrier, it's tiny, isn't it? And that ship is controlled by that tiny little rudder. Or how about a spark in a forest fire? Do fires, are they just immediately, instantaneously huge conflagrations? No, it started one little spark, didn't it? Every fire started with a little spark. And look what it does. So something is small, but it wields tremendous power. Same way, that's like the tongue. It's small, but it has power, and we need to understand that and acknowledge that. It tells us here then that the tongue is powerful, but also that the tongue is perverse. The tongue is perverse. The tongue is small but powerful, but worse though, the tongue can be full of evil. It can be satanic and infectious. It can be like a deadly poison. He says the tongue can be like a fire, and it's a fire that's set on fire. How? From where? From hell. From hell itself. It's a fire. It's a world of evil. It's poison. Pretty strong language here, isn't it? It says the tongue has the ability to corrupt the whole body and inflame the whole course of life. You know, what we speak, how we use our power of speech can set us on a course in life, can it? When we become people who use our speech to tear down others, all we're doing is setting our own lives on fire, aren't we? It's as though the tongue is like at the center of the hub of a wheel here. And like a fireworks display, that wheel is set on fire at the center. And the more it burns, the faster it revolves until the whole wheel just spins in a blaze, spitting fire in all directions. Anybody here know any spitfire people? Once again, I ask you not to point them out here for us, but we probably have. Anybody here ever been a spitfire? You don't have to point yourself out for that. So the tongue is a conduit. It's a passageway. Think of the tongue. It's a vessel, an instrument of fire that comes from hell itself. Really strong language, isn't it? But James tells us here that when we use our precious gift of speech to tear people apart, the fire that comes from our tongues is coming from hell itself. It says the tongue is not only like an uncontrolled fire, it's also like an untamed beast. It's like an untamed beast. He says, you know what, there are all kinds of animals in the world, aren't there, that human beings have managed to tame or domesticate. But of all the wild beasts of the world that we've managed to tame, to domesticate, there is one beast that hasn't been tamed yet. What is that? Our own tongues. Our own tongues. He says it's a restless evil, an unruly and unsteady, staggering evil that is full of deadly poison. And like the poison of a serpent, the tongue is loaded with venom too, isn't it? It's loaded with venom. Venom of hate and gossip, maligning others. So the tongue is powerful. The tongue is perverse. And then too, the tongue is polluted. It is polluted. It's mixed up. The tongue is polluted in that it's capable of both good and evil, isn't it? It's capable of good. It's capable of praise to God. We use our tongues, we use this wonderful gift of speech to give praise to God. We're here this morning, perhaps some of you have been giving praise to God here this morning. But did you use that tongue to give praise to God on the way here this morning, or to maybe tear apart your spouse, your children, your neighbor? It says we give praise to God on the one hand, and then we also then spit out curses against those who have been made in God's image, God's likeness, human beings. The uncontrolled tongue spews them both out. Praise and curses. Praise, literally, you know, we use that word all the time. What does it mean to praise something? Praise literally means to say a good word about. So when we're praising God, we're saying good things about God. So we praise God on the one hand, and then we also curse. What does curse mean? Well, it means to wish evil on or to speak evil of someone. We're saying good of God and we're speaking evil of one another. It says we use this tongue to say a good word about our Lord and Father. You know, interesting that term there, our Lord and Father. This is the only place in the New Testament that uses that expression to describe God, our Lord and Father. Praising our Lord and Father, cursing, wishing evil, speaking evil of another person who's been created in God's likeness. And he says that both of these things, praising and cursing, should come out of the same mouth, from the same tongue. It's just not right. He says, my brothers, this should not be. This should not be. And he again turns to nature to illustrate his point. He says, can you have fresh water and salt water bubbling up from the same spring? Has anyone ever found a spring that has both fresh water and salt water coming out of it? I haven't. How about this? Have you ever seen a fig tree produce olives from it? Or a grapevine bear figs? No. Have you ever been able to add some salt to water to make it sweet? No. In the same way, how can we use our tongues, which can be a source of sweetness and light, of encouragement, of praise, how can we use it then to attack one another, to gossip about one another, to malign one another? We can't. We can't. So I wonder here this morning, do you take seriously the power of the tongue? Do you take seriously the power of the tongue? You know, there are some within the church that believe in a spiritual gift that we call speaking in tongues. Whether you believe in that or not, we all speak with our tongues, don't we? We all have the gift of speaking with our tongues. And do you realize the power that you have in your words? That sticks and stones can break our bones, and words can hurt us. You know, James is focused a lot on the negative here, you know, telling us the tremendous destructive power of the tongue through this. But isn't the opposite also true? There's been a popular best-selling book called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. Maybe a number of you have read that. It talks about the various ways that we can express love, how there are various ways that we come to appreciate or feel love, that maybe we have different languages we speak, if you will. Well, one of those love languages is words of affirmation. You know, what a difference we can make in the lives of one another through positive words of affirmation. I'm not talking about flattery and lying and deceit here. I'm talking about speaking the truth to one another, speaking the truth of God's Word, speaking the truth of God's grace into one another's lives. You realize and take seriously the power of the tongue to build one another up or to tear one another down. Have you really thought about that? Or this one here, do you have a brackish tongue? Do you have a brackish tongue? Now, probably about half of you are saying, what in the world are you talking about? Some of you know what I'm talking about. What is brackish? Brackish water is, what is it? Where salt water and fresh water come together and they mix together. And it's not salt water. You know, it's not as concentrated as the ocean salt water. But it's certainly not fresh, though, either. It's got salt. We call it brackish. Brackish water is a mixture of salt water and fresh water. You see that like in freshwater rivers where they empty into the ocean. You get a little mixture there of brackish water, a mixture of salt water and fresh water. Well, in the world of nature, brackish water is found in a number of places around the world. For example, where rivers go into oceans. Do you know that parts of the Thames River in England are brackish? That the world's largest lake is the Caspian Sea, and that is brackish water. But my purpose here in asking you this isn't to give a lecture on marine sciences here. But rather, it's to point out something here. To point out the tragedy of a brackish tongue, if you will. One that's mixed with both praises and curse, with sweet, fresh water and salt water, too. Do you have a brackish tongue, a mixture of the two, a Christian mouth that is full of both praises and curses? Well, this simply ought not to be. It simply ought not to be. All right, and will you commit yourself today? Will you commit today to harnessing your tongue for the glory of God? Harnessing your tongue for the glory of God and the good of people. The glory of God and the good of people. Using your tongue to bring glory to God, honoring Him, praising Him, worshiping Him, and using your tongue then to speak the goodness of God and the grace of God into people's lives. Now that doesn't mean, sometimes we have to have some hard conversations with one another, don't we? But we need to speak truth and we need to speak it in a way with gentleness, with love, with concern. Not be tearing one another down, insulting, gossiping. Will you commit yourself today to harnessing your tongue for the glory of God and the good of people? And James has had a lot to say about the negative power of the tongue, but the opposite is true too, isn't it? The positive power of the tongue. You realize the power you have to be a blessing to people simply by how you speak to them. Or do you realize the power you have to tear people down simply by how you speak to them? And sometimes it isn't just the words we use, it's the tone behind it, isn't it? That's all part of this power of the tongue, of our speech. Scripture gives us some guidelines about the harnessed or the controlled tongue. Let me read just a couple of verses here for you. What does Scripture say about what the speech of the believer is to be like? Colossians 3, verses 8 and 9, Paul says this, "But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices." Malice, slander, filthy language, lying. He also says in verse 16 then, well, how should we speak then? "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." One other is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 29. Paul says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Could you imagine the difference that would make in our lives and our churches if we all were committed to that? That there is not going to be any unwholesome word that comes out of my mouth, but only that which is beneficial and helpful for building others up according to their need of the moment. What does that person need to hear from you today? How can you build them up? Power of the tongue. It has tremendous power what we say to give people a taste of heaven or a taste of hell. We can literally convey the grace of heaven to people or the fires of hell by how we use our precious gift of speech. You know, every sermon is ultimately, every Christian sermon is ultimately about our Lord Jesus Christ and the provision that we have in Him. God's provision for you, for me, through our Lord Jesus Christ is, first of all, forgiveness. We all stumble in many ways, don't we? All of us have stumbled in the use of our tongues. But God gives us forgiveness by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He can cleanse you this morning and cleanse me this morning from the sins of the tongue through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is God's provision for forgiveness for us, but He is also God's provision for empowerment. Empowerment. This same Holy Spirit who distributed godly tongues of fire can produce self-control against the tongues of hellfire. The Lord Jesus is provision for forgiveness and empowerment by His Spirit, through His Spirit. I don't think I'm capable of controlling my tongue entirely. I need the Holy Spirit of God. And God has provided that through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through His Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we do acknowledge before You here this morning the tremendous power of the tongue. We can use it to praise You, to speak a good word of You, to build others up, to benefit them according to their need. But yet, Lord, we can also use it to tear people down, to speak curses, to speak ill, to speak evil of one another. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for when we have misused this precious gift of speech. Thank You that we have a Savior, the Lord Jesus, whose blood cleanses us. Forgive us, Lord, for that. Empower us by Your Spirit then, Lord, to walk in obedience to Your Word, to use this gift to speak wholesome words, loving words, gentle words, true words that will build up the body of Jesus Christ here and give honor to You. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.